modern praise and worship.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It's Friday, and Sunday's on the way, to quote an old song. So anyway, this is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We welcome you to the program today. We want to thank those of you who've called and given us words of encouragement this week. Do want to remind you that tonight, if you are a man in Central Brevard County, if you're interested, we're having our Ironmen barbecue tonight at 7 p.m. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so I'm constantly looking to become a better man, a better pastor, a better husband, a better father, a better radio speaker. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was commenting on the number of times he said, and I said, I'm trying to eliminate the radio as well on my program. But tonight, we will be having our men's barbecue. We'd like to encourage you to come out. If you're interested in more details, you can call us at the church. Leave a message. We'll try and get back with you. 454-4263. You can also reach us on email at meritassembly@hotmail.com. Actually, today, that would probably be one of the best ways to get a hold of me, meritassembly@hotmail.com. Those emails come directly to my phone, wherever I'm at, and we will make plans for as many as we have. We hate to have a feast and it turn into a fast because we run out of food. Men, we'd like to invite you out tonight. Also want to mention to you that Sunday morning, Armin and Bonnie Morales. Armin was one of the key elements in the singing group, the Imperials. Sang with Elvis Presley and sang a lot of popular songs, won 4 Grammys, and I don't remember how many Dove Awards. They've been with us a number of times before. They have a tremendous healing. They have a heart for the body of Christ. They want to see God's promises of healing manifest. And so that will be Sunday at our church, 10:30 of a morning, 165 North Grove Street. We're 2 blocks north of 520, 2 blocks west of Courtney Parkway, about a block and a half south of Merritt Avenue, and about a block and a half east of Tropical Trail, right there in the heart of what used to be known as the Merritt Park Place subdivision. It's now primarily a commercial district. If you know where Mila Elementary School is, we're about a block and a half to the south of where they are, right on Grove Street. Other businesses that are in the area are Space Coast Travel, or Space Coast Board of Realtors. They're close to us. There's an orthodontist office that's pretty close to us. Go Travel is very, very close to us. And La Casa Assisted Living Facility is right across the street. So if you know where any of those places are, you are very close. We are the building with the steeple. And so today I want to take you back into John chapter 6. We continue to explore this aspect of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are going to return to chapter 6. This is on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. We talked about the fragments that remain, that nothing would be lost. Today we're going to, and then how the people came and tried to take him by force to make him king. And you and I, when we see that there are needs, we should be going about meeting those needs. We should be need meters. And so I pray that people will know how much you care for them in your community. In verse number 26 of John, the 6th chapter, it says this: Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So let's just stop and look at that for just a moment, because there's some real powerful truths just in that section. Jesus identifies to the people who have traveled around the sea to get to where he was. He tells them what their motive is, and he does it most assuredly. And some statements, some translations, it would be verily. Some translations, it would be truly. But he's telling them the reason that you are seeking me, the motive that you are seeking me. And so as we look at this, give us this day our daily bread, I want to ask you, what is your motive? What is your motive? The scriptures are very clear that Jesus knows not only the things that we do, but the thoughts, the intents that we have. He knows what the motives of our heart are. He knows when you are trying to manipulate someone. He knows when you are doing something, but the motive is not what it should be. God wants us to be people who are motivated with agape, unconditional, God-like love. That's what he wants us to be doing. There are a lot of people who are busy. There are a lot of people who do things, but their motives are more for self-acclimation. They want the accolades. They want people to see them and be impressed. And what Jesus is saying is, not only can it be done, can we have wrong motives in the things that we do, but we can actually be seeking Jesus for with an improper motive, with a wrong heart attitude. And you would say, how in the world could you do that? Wouldn't it be possible? You know, wouldn't God just be happy that we are seeking him? And I want you to know that it's not. He says that he is looking for a people who will not just seek him with their lips, but they will seek him with all of their heart, soul, mind, strength. They will find me when they seek me with all their heart. Not just for what God can do for you, not just for what God can do for me. We should be seeking God because he is worth seeking after. Let me ask you this question. If you had a child and that child was lost, would you seek for that child? And everybody in here would say, of course. You know, several years ago, there was a very famous case, and people were wondering, why is the family not looking for this child? You know, when I travel down the road, I see things like Amber Alert. I see Silver Alert. It's people are missing and people are looking for them. So I want to ask you, are those people looking for them because of what that person that they are looking for can do for them? Or are they searching for them because they are related to them? There is an attachment to them and they don't want life to be done without them. And I challenge you that is the reason why those Amber Alerts and you know, our hearts break when we discover that the reason that people aren't looking for someone is because you know, there's a different motive going on behind there that grieves our hearts. And Jesus says, look, I know the reason why you have made this trip. I know the reason that you are seeking me. It is not because you saw the signs. It's not because you even heard the word. He said, you are seeking me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So let me just tell you what I believe about this passage of scripture. I don't believe that Jesus is condemning them because this is the motive of their heart for seeking him. If that was the case, then he would have not done the miracle. He could have just simply not done the miracle and they would have not made this journey. Wherever you are, whatever motive you have for seeking God right now, whether it is you just received a diagnosis from the doctor, you're your life is not turning out the way that you thought it was. You're a little discouraged, a little disillusioned. You're a little disappointed, whatever it might be. If you are seeking him because of something that you need in your life, a lot of times during this season of the year, people will go into a season of prayer and fasting. And a lot of times people are praying and fasting for God to give them something. Jesus, whatever motive you are seeking him with, he wants to elevate that. He wants to raise that to a higher quality of desire and longing in your heart. He wants you to, if you're seeking him because you're hungry, if you're seeking him because you need a job, if you're seeking him because you need healing, if you're seeking him because you want a relationship in your life, if you're seeking him because you're lonely, whatever it might be, don't let that be the only motive you have in your heart. Allow God to develop a greater heart for God in you, and then you will seek him with all of your heart, and then you're going to find him. You're going to find him in ways that you never dreamed that you would. He said, you are seeking me because you ate of the loaves, and get this, were filled. You not only ate, but you were filled. God wants to, remember, we talked about this earlier. They ate not just to have a little bit. They ate until they were satisfied. Here, Jesus uses the description that they were actually filled to capacity. And that filling caused them to have a longing. It had them a desire. Can give us this day our daily bread. And so Jesus tells them here, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on you. So he's right here in verse number 27. He begins to challenge them to grow in their motive for seeking God. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes. About a year and a half or 2 years ago, we had a refrigerator freezer that we used kind of as an overflow refrigerator and freezer. If our current refrigerator and freezer wasn't sufficient to hold all of the food, and around the holidays you end up having a lot of leftovers and things like that, we would put the food in there. And if we see something on sale, we'd buy it and put it in the freezer and hold it for a later time. Well, unbeknownst to us, our extra freezer malfunctioned. It quit working, and it had a rather large frozen turkey carcass in there at one point in time. And we began to get the sense that there was something wrong someplace. There was a bad stench, and I went out there and I opened that freezer and I just about passed out because of this horrendous odor. And I want you to know that turkeys are not the only thing that perish. There's a lot of food, that can go bad on you. Jesus says, do not labor for the food that perishes. Do not just pray, God, give me today a meal. Give me something that is going to sustain me physically for this day. But he says, labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. Have a desire that when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, that what you are asking is for everything that God has for you that is going to equip you to experience, to enjoy, and to thrive in this everlasting life. Now, you might be one of those people that looks for that life, that satisfaction, that joy, that fulfillment in your job. You might look for it in experiences. You might look for it in adventure. You might look for it in your travels. You might look for it in your education. You might look for it in a lot of different areas. But the scripture is very clear that if you want food, if you want God to give you food that is going to sustain you, not just daily, but for eternity, then the source of that is the Son of Man. He is the one who will give you this. So when we are praying, give us this day our daily bread, we have an assurance that God says, I am going to give you, it is my will to give this to you. You know, if you want to really do a study on the will of God, you know, take your Bible, and as you read it during your times of devotions, if you see the word will or shall, highlight those words, meditate on those words, and see what God says that he will do for you. He will give you food that endures to everlasting life. No matter where you are at today, if you pray, give me today my daily bread. Give me a word today that is going to sustain me. Give me a word today that is going to impart life to me. Give me a word today that can only come from Jesus. We don't want a secondary source. We don't want necessarily all of our information to come through middleman when we have a divine hotline to heaven where we can cry out and Jesus will minister to you and I. And it says here, which the Son of Man will give you because the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus was carrying around God's seal of approval. God's seal of approval. And he said, because I've got my Father's seal of approval, I will give you everything that you need, not just for life in the here and the now and the immediate, but I will give you food. I will give you food that is going to endure for a long time. And so they drop down into verse number 30 as Jesus begins to challenge them. And they said, therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. So Jesus begins to challenge them. They said, what will we do? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's verse 28. Verse number 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent, whom he sent. Verse number 30, when Jesus challenges them to start believing, then they start looking for an excuse. Well, you need to give us a reason to believe. What will you do that will give us a reason to believe? I want to ask you today, are you procrastinating, activating your faith in God simply because you lack sufficient information? Or is it more of a just, I won't do this until I just see one more thing? You know, there's a lot of times that people talk about putting out fleeces and Gideon putting out a fleece, you know, and it is mentioned back there in the scriptures. And we need to make sure, we need to test the things that we hear from God to make sure that they line up from the word of God. But Gideon put out a fleece, and God met that fleece, and he said, well, you know, I'm going to have to put out another fleece and see if you will do exactly the opposite so that I can convince myself to believe. And even then, he still wasn't convinced. He had to go down to the Midianite camp, and he had to hear what people were saying, hey, Gideon is coming down here. He literally had to hear somebody talking about the things that God was speaking to his life. And so I believe that faith is greater than a fleece. I believe faith is greater than a fleece. And I will tell you this, that right now God has done more than enough to make himself known to you, to me, to people who are around here. It is not for lack of information. It is not for lack of availability that most people are not believing in Jesus Christ. For most people, there is something within them that is preventing them, and they are crying out, give me one more sign, just one more time, one more time, one more time, There's a commercial that I hear on the radio from time to time, and I couldn't even tell you what product it's advertising. I get the humor in commercials more than I get the point for commercials. But the father says, when I told my son that we could go on the merry-go-round as many times as he wanted, I really should have had an idea in mind of how many times exactly he would say. And a lot of people are going around the merry-go-round of doubt over and over and over again. And so the people, they said, okay, we're not ready to put our faith in you. We're not ready to believe in you, even though you just fed us to the full. You did that. Moses, let's see, they said, what work will you do that we may see it and believe? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, you know what they just said right there? We already have enough evidence from what God did for our fathers, for our forefathers, for our previous generations. We already have had enough faith in him to do that. What, you know, and so they're saying, we just don't want to activate it. We've seen what he did in the past, but unless we see him do it for us right now, these people were doubting Thomas before Thomas was doubting Thomas. They already said, it is written, we have the written word, but we're still not going to believe. We have the written word, but we're still not going to believe. And verse 32, Jesus challenges them once again. Another important thing to pay attention to is whenever you see, you know, in the New King James Version, it's most assuredly, whenever you see verily, or whenever you say Jesus saying truly, pay attention to that. And so Jesus corrects them. I know that that is a novel concept, but it is actually true. Jesus is in the correcting business. He is in the discipling business. He loves me. Therefore, he corrects me. He is in the refining process. He wants to make me more like him. So Jesus corrects them, and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. By the way, I want you to know that Moses points that out. Moses said, God, where could you get enough food to feed all these people? There wouldn't be enough if you emptied out all the fish in the sea, which was really an insult to God's capabilities. But it's a testament of Moses knowing his own limitations and his own abilities. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. I want you to see the tense there, the tense in the word gives. It is a present active word. It is a continual thing. Gives, when someone gives you something, this, in this particular situation, it is talking about, it is something that is going on all the time. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. It is a sustainable resource. It is a constant supply chain. And that's just tremendous from heaven. And it's not bread from a bakery. You know, when my father was working as I was a child, we had go and visit him at work, and it was right next to a bakery. And I loved to go to visit my father at work for a couple of reasons. One, it was the first time I'd ever seen a construction man lift, an elevator, single person lift, and that was pretty exciting. The other thing was the bakery. You would walk by the bakery, and you would just smell the bread as it was cooking. And I know that there are some people that don't like, you know, what that might do to the, you know, atmosphere and all of that sort of stuff. But I'm telling you what, it would make you want bread, because whenever you would travel by it, you'd say, I smell that the air smells different here. Can I tell you that when you are crying out, God, give me this day my daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, remember, it's corporate, not just individual, that when God is supplying that, it changes the atmosphere. the actual ingredients in the air that you breathe are different when the supply is taking place. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So this source was not a bakery. It was heaven itself. It had a supernatural source. And folks, let me tell you that it is always a challenge. It always takes faith to step up from a natural resource. Natural resources will perish. Supernatural resources are sustainable. And so it always requires faith. If you have ever found yourself in a situation where you had more month than money, you understand about the limitations of natural resources. But if you are like my wife and I, my children, and our church, where you have discovered the supernatural gift that God gives on a continuing basis, when you walk in fellowship with him and say, you know what, God, you have blessed me with this as a steward. You own everything, but you have given me today everything that I have need of, and I'm going to honor you first and foremost with the tithe, that 10%. I know that there's a lot of people that don't believe in tithing, so I'm assuming that you believe in the New Testament principle that everything you have belongs to God, and you do not limit yourself to 10%. You go above and beyond that. At least that's what we've learned. Because, and here it says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When you are seeing God supernaturally answer you, give us this day our daily bread, what you are going to find is that you are not only going to experience life yourself, but you're going to see life in your family. You're going to see life in your church, life in your workplace. You are going to see life in your health, life in your finances, life in your emotions, life in your marriage. You're going to see life in your community, life in your neighborhood. I'm telling you, folks, we need to be crying out, God, give us this bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Father, right now we just want to thank you and praise you that you have a desire. Lord, it says that you will give us this bread of life. You will give us this bread from heaven that imparts life to the world, not a life that perishes, but a life that is connected to you. Lord, today I pray that every person listening to this broadcast would be seeking you, not for just a shallow or an improper motive, but because you are their treasure and they want you in their life more than anything else. We hope to see you Sunday morning at Merit Assembly of God. God bless you. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more.
Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one.